Welcome back to WCULA Operation Pass and Clex. For those of you that are in 493 currently, your exit exam is coming up in 4 days. Are you ready? I hope so. I'm sure you are. Dr. Khan makes sure that everybody is prepared to pass this test. Don't stress going into this test. Monday, you are to do no studying. Relax, spend time with family. It's a holiday. Just take a break and take it easy. For those of you that are in 480, you will be entering into 493 next term. It's going to be your last term, guys. Don't lose sight of the end goal and keep yourself focused. It's going to get very, very busy. You've got this. I have no doubts that you will come out entirely successful. For the rest of our WCU students who may be listening, we're going into another term in 2 weeks for Spring 1, 2021. Let's hope that everything we dealt with in 2020 is done and passed. This week we have Professor Baltazar coming to talk to us about using assistive devices. We all know that assistive devices can be a little bit confusing. Which side does something go on when you're getting up and down using crutches? How do you do it? Using a walker, what's the proper way? ATI likes to ask a lot of questions about assistive devices, as the proper use can prevent patient falls. So let's turn it over to Professor Baltazar and hear what she has to say.
Hi, good evening, future nurses. My name is Professor Baltazar, your fundamental instructor. I am going to talk about use of assistive devices with ambulation. So, fortunately, for most patients, prolonged periods of bed rest are no longer necessary during most illnesses. Routine activity and mobilization of patient is an important activity and is appropriate for most patient population. Having patients do early ambulation and routine mobilization reduces hospital stay. The benefits of patients improving muscle strength, functional dependence, and avoid complications due to immobility. A gentle short walk in the room, the hall, the bedroom, to the living room, or out into the yard is a protective measure for the body. So, how are we going to use these mechanical aids for walking? Various devices can use to assist patients with walking. These devices enhance the patient's balance and ability to bear weight. The most common devices are walkers, canes, braces, and crutches. The patients are fitted for a device and instructed how to use it in the Department of Physical Medicine or Physical Therapy. However, in some healthcare settings, nurses may be responsible for fitting patients with a device and teaching them the appropriate way to use it. In this instance, the nurse's role is to reinforce the patient's teaching and ensure that they continue to use the device correctly to assist in safe ambulation. In assessing a patient who has been using a walker, cane, brace, or crutches for a while, determine whether the device is still needed, whether it continues to meet the patient's needs. Furthermore, whether the patients continue to use it properly. Please take a note that some older adults consider using a mobility aid a visible symbol of weakness or an indication of decline in capabilities and loss of independence. Many patients refuse to use them and keep them out of sight. If the mobility aid is intended for short-term use, the response may be more positive. Being sensitive to the patient's perspective with these devices focuses on the meaning the aid has for the patient rather than merely emphasizing how to use it. Allow patients some control over their mobility decisions while still ensuring a safe environment. There are some general guidelines for helping patients who need the assistance of a walker, canes, brace, or crutches. And this include the following. Suppose it is possible to include family or caregivers and patient in the correct use of the device before its use, like surgery. If family and caregivers are knowledgeable, they can reinforce the teaching to the patient. When ready to walk with a new device, make sure the patient is wearing rubber-soled, well-fitting shoes and a clear ambulation path. Clean, flat, dry, well-lit. Use a gait belt, especially if the patient is at high risk for falls. Before moving the patient, make sure the patient is steady on the feet when standing. Instruct the patient to stand erect, looking straight ahead. The nurse should walk behind and slightly to one side of the patient. In hemiparesis or hemiparalysis cases, the nurse needs to walk on the patient's affected side. Should the patient lose balance, be prepared to grasp the patient's shoulders and the gait belt to steady the patient. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is walker. Well, a walker is a lightweight metal frame. It's usually aluminum. With four legs, it improves balance by increasing the patient's base support, enhancing lateral stability, and supporting the patient's weight. It can also provide a sense of security and support. There are several types of walkers specified to the patient's arm strength and balance. Most walkers have four legs with rubber tips, and some walkers have wheels on the front legs. These walkers are best for patients with a too fast gait, for a walker without wheels, and for patients who have difficulty lifting a walker. Because lifting repeatedly is not required, energy expenditure and stress to the back and upper extremities are lower than those of the standard walker. Walkers are available with wheels on all four legs. Patients who require a more extensive support base and do not rely on the walker to bear weight can use this. If an application of full body to this type of walker could roll away, resulting in a fall. Wheeled walkers are best for patients who need minimal weight bearing from the walker. Walkers often prove challenging to maneuver through the doorways and congested areas and not be used on stairs. When the patient stands between the walker's back legs with the arms relaxed at the side, the top of the walker should line up with the crease on the inside of the patient's wrist. When the patient's hands are placed on the grips, elbows should be flexed about 30 degrees. There are some guidelines to instruct a patient using a walker to do the following. They need to wear non-skid shoes or slippers. When rising from a seated position, use the chair arms for support. Once standing, place one hand at a time on the walker and move forward into it. Begin by pushing the walker forward, keeping the back upright. Place one leg inside the walker, keeping the walker in place. Then step forward with the remaining leg into the walker, keeping the walker still. Repeat the process by moving the walker forward again. We have to caution the patient to avoid pushing the walker out too far in front and leaning over it. Patient should always step into the walker rather than walking behind it, staying upright as they move, Never attempt to use a walker on stairs. The next assistive device I'm going to talk about is crutches. Crutches are often used for younger clients who have good upper arm strength, who have been affected with an acute musculoskeletal injury such as sprain, strain, or fracture. A specific method of using crutches, referred to as gait, is ordered for a patient based on their physical support needs. These gaits include the two-point gait, the three-point gait, the four-point gait, the swing-through gait, and the swing-to gait. Properly fitting crutches should have the client's hands firmly placed on the grips. The client's elbows should be slightly bent when holding the hand grips, and the hand grips should be even with the hip line. The hands sustain the client's weight. There should not be any weight or pressure on the armpits when they walk with their crutches. All the weight is on the hands, which are on the hand grips. Sometimes crutches are necessary for a patient to use to avoid using one leg or to help strengthen one or both legs. There are two types of crutches. Most commonly used are the axillary crutches and the forearm crutches. The forearm crutches are for patients who require long-term support for ambulation or to patients who have permanent limitation and will always need crutch assistance for ambulation. The axillary crutches are used to provide support for patients who have temporary restrictions on ambulation. These crutches require significant upper body and arm strength to use. The procedure for crutch walking is usually taught by a physical therapist, but again, it is important for the nurse to be knowledgeable about the patient's progress and the gait being taught. Be prepared to guide the patient at home or in the hospital after the initial teaching is completed. Remind the patient that the support of body weight should come primarily on the hands and the arms while using the crutches, not in the axillary areas where pressure may damage nerves and cut off circulation. Also, the crutches should not be forced into the axilla each time the body moves forward. There are some safety teaching tips for our patient regarding crutch walking. Safety measures: they need to routinely inspect the crutch tips. They need to replace worn crutch tips. The crutch tips need to remain dry. They need to inspect the structure of your crutches routinely for cracks in a wooden crutch or bends in an aluminum crutch. Why is this important? The rubber crutch tips increase surface tension and help prevent slipping. Water decreases surface friction and increases the risk of slipping. Cracks in a wooden crutch decrease its ability to support weight. Bends in aluminum crutches alter body alignment. We need to teach also patient correct positioning for the use of crutches. This is to prevent pressure on the axilla, keep elbows close to sides, prevent crutches from getting closer than 12 inches to feet. Why is it important? Pressure placed on the axilla can cause damage to nerves and circulation, as I stated earlier. This also helps stabilize the crutches to prevent the patient from falling. Prevent crutches from getting closer than 12 inches to feet. This prevents the patient from tripping over the crutches. We need to also teach our patient regarding how to function at home with crutches. To rise from a chair, they need to slide forward to the edge of the chair, extend the injured leg to prevent any weight bearing, place crutches on unaffected side, lean forward, and push off using the crutches. Patient needs to learn that everyday occurrences may be challenging, and if not done correctly, may end up with injury to affected leg. To climb stairs, advance unaffected leg past crutches, then place weight on unaffected leg. Advance affected leg and the crutches to the step. Continue with this order until top of stairs is reached. To descend stairs, move crutches and affected leg first, followed by the unaffected leg. The next is canes. Canes widen a person's base of support. They provide improved balance. Canes come in three variations. It can be single-ended canes with half-circle handles. These are recommended for patients requiring minimal support and those who will be using stairs frequently. Single-ended canes with straight handles, these are recommended for patients with hand weakness because the hand grip is easier to hold, but not recommended for patients with poor balance. Or canes with three or four prongs, which is a quad cane, or legs to provide a wide base of support. These are recommended for patients with poor balance. Many of the canes are adjustable. The cane should fit so that when the patient stands with the cane's tip 4 inches to the side of the foot, the cane extends from the floor to the crease in the patient's wrist. The elbow should be flexed 15 degrees when holding the cane. Rubber tips on the cane prevent slipping and accidents. Inspect this regularly to ensure that they are intact. Teach patient to stand erect when walking with a cane and not to lean out over the cane. When walking with a cane, we need to instruct patients to hold the cane in the hand opposite the side that needs support. If the cane is used for stability, the patient may hold it in either hand. Ambulation should proceed in the following fashion with the cane. The patient stands with weight evenly distributed between the feet and the cane. The cane is held on the patient's stronger side and is advanced one small stride ahead. Supporting weight on the stronger leg and the cane, the patient advances the weaker foot forward parallel with the cane. Supporting weight on the weaker leg and the cane, the patient brings the stronger leg forward to finish the step. We need to teach patient to position their canes within easy reach when they sit down so that they can rise easily. And the last ambulation device would be braces. Braces that support weakened leg muscles are available in many variations. Our nursing responsibilities include knowing when the brace is to be worn and the correct technique for applying the brace. Monitoring to ensure correct use of the brace by the patient and observing for any untoward problems. The brace might cause, like skin irritation, muscle changes such as those occurring with growth and development are brought about by illness or atrophy, may require the brace to be refitted to maintain its effectiveness. When we have all taught this different kinds of assistive devices, as nurses, we need to evaluate the effectiveness of a care plan. which designed to help patients enhance, maintain, or regain mobility and fitness. Goals use each nurse-patient interaction to evaluate the patient in the following respects. We need to check general ease of movement and gait, patient's body alignment, joint structure and function, muscle mass, tone and strength, and then endurance. It is an excellent time to assess these essential ingredients of well-being when the patient is performing simple everyday tasks such as walking, undertaking hygiene measures, dressing, and eating, because illness and enforced inactivity can affect this task negatively. Ongoing evaluation is necessary if serious problems are to be avoided. For an NCLEX question, here is my question. After instruction, which action by a patient who can bear weight on both feet indicates an understanding of the proper use of crutches? A, adjusting the crutches so that they rest directly under the axilla. B, moving the opposing crutch and leg together for a two-point crutch walk. C, using a four-point crutch walk when not weight-bearing on the left leg. D, placing the crutches 28 inches forward, then swinging both legs forward. Try to answer. Thank you and good luck.